happy day. Every day is a happy day when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Every day is a happy day. Every day is a happy day. Every day is a happy day when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Every day is a song of praise. Every day is a song of praise. Every day is a song of praise when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Oh, every day is a happy day. Every day is a happy day. Every day is a happy day when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Every day is a happy day. Oh, every day is a happy day. Every day is a happy day when you put it in the hands of the Lord. Oh, every day is a song of praise. Every day is a song of praise. Oh, every day is a song of praise when you put it in the hands of the Lord.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Sister Gidry, you forgive me. I looked at this name and I thought it said Wayne. And I looked around and I didn't see anybody that I didn't recognize as Wayne, but I just decided to read it like I saw it. So you forgive me. We're glad you're back in church today. And of course, she is a special guest, a brother and sister guest. That's right. We're glad brother and sister guests are here, bringing guests. That's all right, isn't it? Brother Worthington is preaching today, and I want him to come right now. And I want you to help him preach. Brother Steve, come and sing.
There's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Well, there's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever. And I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Well, I can see the family gather sweet faces, they're so familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Well, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
And worship the Lord. Everybody, let's stand up. Worship God. Oh, He's worthy of all of our praise. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. All right, you can be seated. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this morning and feel this great spirit. It's a great spirit. I ought to hear an amen out of that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible said there's liberty. And I thank God for that liberty this morning that we can find in Him. We was bound, but now we've been made free. Hallelujah. Set free by His blood. And getting homesick after 30 some odd years, all loving and living for God, after 30 some odd years of fighting the devil and overcoming by His blood, Jesus' blood, I'm homesick. I want to go home. And the writer said to lift your head, because he said your redemption draws nigh. I'm glad of that. So glad of that. The only reason that I would even pray today, God, just don't come right now, is because we've all got somebody we'd like to see brought into this church, the Church of the Living God, before He does come back. Hallelujah. But other than that, all's clear. Everything's fine. And the Lord's ready to come too. I believe that. He's just holding off a little bit because we're asking Him to. Thank God. I think that it was more than just a parable when He spoke of the wedding supper. And He said, you go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. Because He said, my fatness is healed and all things are ready. I believe that. I believe that's the day that we're living in. And He's just holding off a little bit because of your son, daughter, neighbor, whoever. Thank God. I sojourned, and it was just a sojourn in the state of Florida one time. Some of the folks from around here, of course, brother, said Shirley's home's in Florida. And was down there a while in church work. And I was sure glad when the Lord released us and let us come back this direction. Florida's a good place to visit, but I don't think it was a good place to live, really. I got homesick. And when it come just about time for us to go, we began to count down the days. Coming home, going back to Texas. And that morning, when we was to leave that day, and we began to load the old station wagon and the U-Haul trailer and all of that that was behind us, and we had sold some of our furniture and so on, just bringing what we had to have, and began to leave out from the city limits of Sarasota, coming back in this direction. And Sister Worthington and our two boys was very small at that time, and our daughter was just a few months old. And the closer we got to home, the more excited those boys got. And when we crossed over that Texas line, I'll almost guarantee you they could have heard them holler all the way from Wascom back to Shreveport. We was homesick. Well, I'm getting homesick. And no wonder there's going to be a shout when it comes time to go. Praise God. We appreciate His presence and all of His goodness. If you'll stand with me for just another few moments, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Very familiar portion of Scripture that we'll read this morning. Saul had disobeyed God. The Spirit of the Lord had turned from him. God spoke to Samuel and told him to go down to Jesse's house and to anoint a king. And Samuel obeyed the word of the Lord. And in the fourth verse of this 16th chapter, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And Samuel did that. And he said, Peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Great God, this morning as we come to you once again, and as your word has been read, we ask for your anointing, God, upon these lips of clay and upon these that are here. Bless each one of your children, God, and those that have received your Spirit, and you've placed your seal of approval upon them. Bless us again. If there be those here tonight, God, or today that have not made that dedication to you, I'm asking you, God, to open their hearts and talk to them today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Praise the Lord. I want us to sing just a little bit of a chorus before you're seated. And I want us to just reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. And He's here. I feel Him. Can you feel the Lord today? He's here. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy just to hear your heart cry. Well, He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Sing it again now. Reach out with all your heart, touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart cry. Sing by this moment your needs to supply. Just reach out, touch the Lord as He One more time, sing it, and let's all lift our hands and sing it to the Lord. Worship Him. Love Him. Reach out and touch Him, because you see, He touches us when we touch Him. Hear your heart cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to love Him right now for a while. Let's just love Him. Let's just love Him. He's worthy of it. He's worthy, for Thou art worthy, O God. He's worthy of all of our praise. Hallelujah. He redeemed us by His blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to worship the Lord. That's what we come here for. Thank God. I have been feasting since, especially since Thursday night on that Bible study that our pastor brought to us Thursday night. So good. So great. Thank God. I want to see the move of the Lord in the midst of His people. I sat last night for a while and I studied in one of our Pentecostal church history books, and it stirred up my mind even more after the message Thursday night, and then the reading of history last night, and following up the reference in the Word of the Lord, and it stirred me even more to realize that, hey folks, God's got something for us that we hadn't touched yet. I said, God's got something for us that we hadn't touched yet. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I want us to reach out for it today. And continue to reach until we have accomplished, and then just reach on. For you see, we never get too much of God. The writer said we go from victory to victory. Thank God. So when you reach one pinnacle, that's not all of it. Reach for another. And let's go on for the Lord. But let's turn our attention for a while to the Word of the Lord here. And I think that this is the reason that God impressed me through the studying of the Scriptures and the history books and so forth last night, impressed me along these lines to bring to us and somehow or another to stir up our pure minds in the way of remembrance. God's got pinnacles and God's got heights today that He wants to do for us, and that we can reach for them, and that God will do them. But the Bible so plainly tells us that God don't look on man like man does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. Hallelujah. Now, naturally speaking, all we can see is this individual that walks around among us day by day. We observe the clothes that he wears, the number of pencils that is in his lapel, the automobile that he drives, the testimony of his mouth, and these are the things that we have to base our opinion upon, how much an individual loves God. Now, I'm not speaking of ourselves. Every one of us knows ourselves. Every one of us knows exactly where we're at with God. But when I look at you and when you look at me, these are the things that we have to base our opinions upon. But the Lord tells us that He sees deeper than these outward appearances. He sees the heart of every man and woman that's in this congregation today. And not just those that sit here, but those of all the world. God knows just exactly what's in the heart of every one of them. Now Saul, the Bible tells us, the first king of the people of Israel, or the nation of Israel, when God called for him to be anointed, and Samuel brought him to his inauguration of the first king, and began to look for him, the Bible tells us that Saul had hid himself among the stuff. But once he was found, and Samuel brought him out and stood him up before the people, no doubt the people, they stood in awe of the king that God was allowing them to have,
For the Bible said that he stood a head and shoulder above all the rest. Therefore, Samuel felt as though when it came time after Saul had failed, after Saul had lost out with God, and more than just a state of what we would call growing cold or a backsliding, but a state of apostasy, a state of reprobate, a state of being cut off from God. For the Bible tells us that the kingdom was rent from him, and more than the kingdom, the Spirit of the Lord did not speak to him anymore, to the extent that he sought after witchcraft, and he sought after imitations, and he sought after other things to try to bring a little relaxation and peace to his soul. God had left him that day because of the things that he had done, the things that he allowed. Saul, naturally speaking, his mind went back to the size of Samuel. His mind went back to the time that Saul stood there head and shoulder above all the rest. Now God said, Samuel, you go down to Bethlehem, and there among the sons of Jesse, I want you to anoint me king, to anoint a king for me, a king for Israel. Now, Samuel thought, naturally speaking, no doubt, that because Eliab and some of the other sons was great men, they was fine-looking men, they was qualified, naturally speaking, they may have stood a head and shoulder above others as Saul had done. He thought that this was it. The Scripture tells us in the 6th verse, it came to pass that when they were come, and that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But God said, I'm not looking at that outward appearance. The thing that I'm looking at, the thing that I'm concerned about, and it wasn't just in that time, it always has been, it is today. He said, I look on the heart. Hallelujah. Now they went through the whole succession of bringing the 7 sons of Jesse before Samuel to anoint him. And finally Samuel said, have you not another son? He said, I've got one more. You know the story is very familiar to us as Pentecostal people. I've got one more, but he's just a lad of a boy. He takes care of the sheep. And surely, if God didn't want some of my elder sons, some of the stronger, some of those that was equipped for war, some of those that was great as far as man would think, surely he wouldn't want this little boy that just takes care of the sheep. But Samuel said, you call for him. And the moment that David walked into the dwelling where Samuel was at, the Spirit of the Lord talked to him and said, this is the man. You anoint him. This is who I've chosen. For you see, God was not looking, as the Scripture has said, at the outward appearance, but God was remembering the time that out yonder in the darkness of the night, that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon a young man that sat there and played his harp and worshiped God. He was remembering the time that he considered the stars and the moon, and he said, what man that thou art mindful of him? He was remembering these things. And the Spirit of the Lord said, that's the man I want. The man with a heart that's on thee. The man whose desire is on thee. I'm not looking so much for all of the others. For you see, God's not looking for the battle is his, whatever it comes or goes. But God's not looking so much for the missiles. And God's not looking so much for the tanks and the guns and all the rest of it. God's not looking so much for the man with the wisdom of the world. God's looking for people today, as well as then, whose heart is fixed on the Lord. Hallelujah. Now God knew who was going to stand when the test had come. You hear me? God knew who was going to stand when the test had come. Eliab was a fine looking boy. He was a great specimen of a man. But God knew when the test would come that he had hide himself in the caves and the dens of the earth with Saul and with all of the rest of them. But he knew that there was going to be one that would step out in the midst of them. And there they stood on either side of the valley. And giant of a man, 9 feet tall, known as Goliath, stood down in the midst of the valley, crying out against God and against God's army. And just this lad of a boy stepped out and spoke to him and said, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. This is a thing that's going to get the job done. Come in the name of the Lord." It makes no difference who you are or where you came from. It makes no difference what our qualifications are as far as this life is concerned. Our automobiles, our bank accounts, our homes, the clothes that we wear, how we do our hair, the expensive things of this life that we might have. Let me tell you something. God's not looking at that, but God today is looking down on the inside at your heart, at my heart, desiring to see, is there one or more that will step out for me in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God knew who would stand the test. Jesse called him and said, "David, you go down to the battle. Go to the battlegrounds and you take this food to your brother and you see how the battle goes, how they're faring." And as David went down, no doubt he did desire to see. You see, this was God's army. Israel was God's army. And David was expecting to get there and see men that was on the battle line, see men that was out there carrying the battle to the Philistines, the enemies of God. But as he drew nigh, instead of hearing the cries of victory, instead of hearing the clanking and the clattering of the armor and the swords and the neighing of the horses and the rolling of the chariots, David heard a cry of fear arising from an army that should have been victorious. An army that should have been led by God. Yet here they was. They hid in the caves and the dens because there was actually a backslidden army led by a man that did not know God no longer. Oh God. David heard this Philistine defying the armies of the living God. And his brother that was so much of a specimen of a man stopped him and said, "What you doing down here, boy?" See, God knew who was going to be able to carry the battle. God knew Eliab wasn't going to do it. He knew the fear that was in that man's heart. He knew he couldn't carry the ball. He knew he couldn't deliver the mail. But he knew David, just a young boy, could do it because he had the love of God in his heart. Woo! Hallelujah. What you doing down here? He said, "I know the naughtiness of your heart. What have you done with them few sheep?" And David, thank God, I think he was burning up with a desire and a zeal to do something for God. And he looked at him and he said, "Ain't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? I'm here for a purpose." I believe that he knew. He may not have knew when he started out with that parched corn and what Jesse was sending down there. But brother, when he got there, he knew that it was more than Jesse that sent him to that battlefield. Hallelujah. Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a cause? Hallelujah. And Saul took him and put his armor on him. He said, "I hadn't tried this. I hadn't tried this." I think one of the greatest things that will cause defeat in the life of a child of God, if we allow it to, is trying something that's been hatched up and manufactured as far as the world is concerned, rather than the Spirit of God. And he said, "I hadn't tried it," and he shook it off, but he said, "I have tried this." And he had the sling in his hand and he ran down and took the five smooth stones and stepped out into the midst of the valley. And Goliath looked at him. And to Goliath, he looked at him as if he was just a nobody. And he said, "What am I, dog, that you send somebody out here with just sticks and spades?" And the story is very familiar, but listen once again. He said, "I've got the name of the Lord with me. I've got more than a slingshot. I got a lot more than Saul's armor. I got a lot more than the brothers of mine that's hid in the caves and the dens. I've got the name of the Lord. And I'm coming to you like that in the name of the Lord." And you know the conclusion of the story. He swung that thing around his head and he let go, and God took hold of the rock, and Goliath fell to the ground, and David ran and took his own sword, and there he cut off his head. He said, "There's a cause. There's a cause." Listen, what God's looking for today is some Davids that's willing to step out in the name of the Lord and bring victory to the people of God, bring victory to the house of the Lord. That's what He's looking for in this congregation today. How many Davids are we going to have that's going to come to the world or against the world and the forces of evil in the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Down yonder, the Bible tells us that there was a young lady by the name of Esther. And she, by the providence of God, had become the queen. And God had done this not just for the purpose of making her queen, but for the purpose of delivering His people. For when Haman decreed that it was to be that the Jews was to be destroyed on a certain day at a certain time, and in that decree, they couldn't even lift their hands to fight back. The one in the position to do the work of God was Esther. Nobody else could. Esther was placed there to be a deliverer of her people, as David was placed on the battlefield to be a deliverer of his people. And when Mordecai sent her word, and he said, "Who knows whether thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I think Esther may have stopped to think and to consider, "Hey, I'm here more than just to be a queen. I'm here more than just to have the fine clothing and everything that the king can offer. God put me here that I might be a deliverer of my people." And she sent word back to her uncle Mordecai and said, "The king hadn't called me for these 30 days. And I'm going to go into him though. And I'm going to stand there. And if I die, I'm just going to die. But I'm willing to give my life that I might be able to be a tool in the hand of the Master." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought a few days ago when I listened to the tape, Brother Shirley preached here one Sunday night a few weeks ago, and it touched my heart so much, and I know that it did yours. Thought of Joseph again. Joseph down there in the land of Egypt, afflicted so many years after God had dealt with him so greatly. But in prison, the Bible tells us that he stood there like a man. He stood there with the presence of God in his heart. And the Bible tells us, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Don't you want the mercy and the favor of God? And the only way we're going to get it is to come as David did, come as Esther did, come as Joseph did, and let the mercy and favor of God be on the life of every one of us. And I'm here to tell you today, and we will agree one with the other, that God is looking for people in this assembly that will step out and say, "I'm going to reach out and touch you. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to live for you. Live or die, sink or swim, my life belongs to you." Hallelujah. It makes no difference. For you see, God, He does, at this moment of time, He sees our hearts. He knows what's in them. Hallelujah. Now, I don't feel as though that there's a one in this congregation, and I don't say this derogatory or throwing at any one of anything, because I don't know you no more than you know me. But God knows us all. And He sees what beats beneath that breastbone. He knows what our hearts desire. He knows the longing of every one of our souls. Let me tell you, all three of these, David, Joseph, Esther, stood for the salvation of their people. We, the church of the living God today, must pick up and never drop that blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ and proclaim to the world that I come to you in the name of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we do this, and when we reach out to touch Him in response to this, He's going to touch us. Now, as I bring this down to us today and show where we are and what we should be doing and what's happening in our midst, I hope every one of us will open our hearts and let God speak to us today. Whether it be the man that stands at this moment temporarily behind the Bible stand, or whether it be the doorkeepers and the ushers or those in between all throughout this building, we've all got an important part in the plan of God. We've all got a great thing to do in the plan of God. Hallelujah. Why, David said himself one time, I think it might would go for our ushers and those that just stand at the door and take the request and then come in and worship God. You're needed in the kingdom of God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the mighty. So we've all got a job. And God wants to put something down in the heart of every one of us that'll touch our souls and touch the souls of those we come in contact with. Hallelujah. In fact, and I don't intend for it to sound like I'm picking on these brethren at the doors and all, but you may have maybe a more important job than some of the rest of us, a whole lot maybe than the rest of us. Because you see, the first thing the man does or the woman does, or the boy or the girl that visits our church, is sees you when they come through those doors. And you can leave the first impression of what this church has got and what this church wants to offer to them through your smile and your greetings and the feeling of your love and your desire to do something for God. And then as he walks on in to the congregation and he begins to move about and he can feel the love and the peace and the comfort and the Spirit of God that's in the congregation. Then when the services begin, he sees our worship. He hears our singing. He hears the ministering of the Word of the Lord. And the only way that we can touch the hearts of those folks is to come to them in the name of the Lord in His name. Hallelujah. We need a whole lot of Davids today. Yes, we do. I thank God for what we've got. Oh, yes, sir. Hallelujah. I told Brother Shirley the other night, we was visiting in his home. They were so cordial and so such a blessing to us there, as well as in the house of the Lord. I said, I question when God moved on me to resign the church that I pastored for something over 9 years in Bastrop. I wanted to be there. I wanted to build that new church building on that new location. I wanted to do that, and I kind of questioned it, but now I know why. Because I need to be right in the middle of this. I need to be right in the middle of this revival, and we're in revival, and we're going to have revival. I told Brother Welch a little while ago, I believe this is just the beginning of it. We're going to see more and better and greater things.
Hallelujah. But oh God, to do it, we're going to have to say in our hearts today, God, make me as David. Make me as Joseph. Make us as Esther. We might be able to stand and to do your will. For you see what God's looking for. And He tells Ezekiel in his writing of the 22nd chapter, I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. And God's still looking for that. God's still looking for that. He's still wanting to find somebody. Oh, you may have never been called to preach and may never be called to preach. That's right. But see, preaching is not the only thing. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for that fivefold ministry that He gives to the church. I do appreciate that. But listen, God's got something for all of us to proclaim and to do. And therefore, He's seeking out you and you and you and you and all of us to do something for Him on your jobs, around your homes, in your neighborhoods, as well as the house of God. He wants us to step out there and be recognized as a child of God. I sought for a man, and in this hour that we're living in today, and it should break the heart of each one of us, and I'm supposed that it does. And we see so much compromising on every hand. So much compromising. The scripture was discussed a few days ago. We've read, and possibly all of us have discussed it over the years, that before the great and notable day of the Lord comes, that there'd be a great falling away. And Brother Strange, I felt as though that maybe it meant individuals losing out with God, backsliding and quitting. But as I look around me today, I see more than just individuals. I see churches compromising. I see churches falling out. Still carrying the same name, still bearing the same name, but compromising to the extent until you would no longer recognize them as being the same churches. Preaching messages that you could no longer recognize as being a Pentecostal message. And in the midst of all of this, God is looking for men. God is looking for women. God is looking for churches that'll stand up and say, blessed be to God, I'm not going to move the old landmarks. God's still the same. We're going to hold on. We're going to live for Him. I sought for a man. I sought for a man that'd make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. Hallelujah. And He's doing that today. Hey, when God filled each one of us with the Holy Ghost, He placed on us a stamp of approval. Yes, He did. But just because we got the Holy Ghost don't mean we got it made. It means we got to go on. It means we got to keep living for God. There's a lot of folks that got the Holy Ghost at one time or another in times past. There's no word around today. And the only way that you and I are going to hold on to this thing is to just keep going on. Hallelujah. Keep standing in the gap. Keep building up the hedge. And God's seeking throughout this congregation today. Oh, He would like for everyone that's here today to be able to say with all of his heart. And it means more than just saying it with your mouth. We can say it with a mouth. God, I'll give you my life. And God, I'm going to make a rededication and a reconsecration. God, I'm going to draw closer. Hey, every one of us can say that. We all know those words. We learned that part of the vocabulary very early in life. Those are not hard words to say, but it means a whole lot more to really mean them in your heart. And that's what God's looking for in our midst today. Once again, we find in the same book of Ezekiel, the great book,
Hallelujah. In the 9th chapter, the Bible tells us that the Lord called those around, and one came with a rider's horn by his side. And all the others that came around had the instruments of death to slay. And God said in our words to the man with the rider's horn, you go through the streets of Jerusalem, and there you find those that are burdened, that wail for the sins of the people. And you put a mark on them. And everybody that don't have the mark, I'm going to send behind you the angels with the instruments to slay them. Can you see him as he went through the city of Jerusalem? I'll mark this one and this one. This one here just don't quite have the desire. I can't mark you. Could I put a mark on you? You? It would be such a terrible thing. Such a wonderful thing for those that he could mark and say, these are my people. These are the ones that I chose. But to them that could not receive the mark, could not come up to what God's looking for, it would be such a terrible thing. But he's doing it. He's doing it. I wonder how many God would mark from the pulpit to the back door and all over this building. I wonder how many God would or could mark today. He'd like to mark us all, but could he? Where's our hearts? Where's our longings? Where's our desire? Could we step out in the face of a great big ugly giant call sin and say, I'm coming in the name of the Lord? Could we stand as Esther in the face of danger and say, if I die, I just die? Could we stand in affliction as Joseph did, and even in the midst of that affliction still hear the Lord say, found mercy? There's men that we can find in the Scriptures that did, which would be too numerous for us to number. And we have the same God today that they had. We worship the same. And I feel as though that we have the greatest opportunity in 1985. A greater opportunity than God's church has ever had to shine out and to reach a lost and a dying world without God. God's not looking on our outward appearance. God's not looking on our outward appearance. God's looking on my heart and on your heart. When we stand in front of the mural to comb our hair, to straighten our ties, whatever, we see the outward appearance. And we think sometimes, oh, we might as well all admit it. My. You know, see, ain't one of us in here that don't love the old fellow that we walk around with. That's the reason we take so good care of him. We love him. And we take care of him. But if we really took care of the inward man sometimes, like we take care of the outward man, I think maybe we may see a whole lot more done for God than what we see sometimes. I thank God for what's happened and what is happening and what's going to happen around here. And I want to be in the big middle of it all. but the only way that I'm going to be there, and the only way you're going to be there. In fact, the only way we're going to have it is say, God, here am I. Send me. I'll go. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Lift your hands. And let's present ourselves once again to God. Make us great individuals for you. Praise God. Make us individuals that love you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Burden our souls, give us the desire to live for you and to bring the lost into the kingdom. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sing something, sister, just anything. Just to worship. As they play and sing, just anything, Brother Steve.
More of you.
Let's worship God. Just for a little while longer.
More of you I've had all but what I need. Just more of you.
More of you.
Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you.
Everybody, want more of
it. I want more of you.
Praise God.
Just more of
so
you.
So thankful for what we've got, but we want more of you, Lord.
I've had all but what I need. Just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you.
Sing it one more time with all your heart, and then we're going to worship
you. I want more of you.
I want more of you, Lord.
Just more of you.
My God, my God, my God.
I've had all but what I need. Just more of you. Of things I've had.
Oh, yes, thank God.
And yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you.
Worship Him now. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.